Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the BPD Bunch. I'm your host, Sani, and today I am here with Katya, Jack, Hakcha, Lena, and Georgette. We're continuing our conversation on impulsivity and money with regards to BPD. If this or other BPD-related topics interest you, please make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss a single episode. Last time, we talked about what impulsivity with money looks like for us, and we also shared some of our tips on how to deal with it. And today, we want to expand and dive a little bit deeper. So, are there specific situations or contexts that activate the urge to spend impulsively? And if so, what are they? And are you able to recognize them in advance? And what do you do about it?
I like to say my favorite brand of alcohol is house. Whatever the house is. I find that my impulsive behavior really is tied to high stress situations in which I also feel shame. And it's a way to kind of like, I'll dissociate, I'll buy something, maybe it'll help me to feel better. So now I've started really with mindfulness, being mindful, like, oh, I just had a painful disagreement with somebody. I wonder why I feel like going to the mall, or I wonder why I feel like going to these places. And I've try to, with mindfulness and awareness of the behavior, channel it into like, okay, well, maybe I need to pick an alternative activity. It's not easy because these are like, it's taking my regular, my go-to that I've used for so long, recognizing that that's my unhealthy go-to, even if it's not self-harm, things that people would think of as unhealthy. Recognizing that that's the urge I have, and then really working hard to pick something else to do. So, you know, doing yoga, maybe if I have an urge to go looking for a piece of art, maybe I need to try and make something myself instead. So it's, for me, it's been mindfulness, awareness of the behavior, and then it's not easy. It's very hard to try and like, go around that and channel it into a more healthy way. But I have been able to do it. I am proud to say.
Yeah, for me, it's changed over the years, actually, because like Hakcha, when I was younger, mainly military, it was more social. I wanted to be, because I was always, also was the youngest one in my social group. So it was always, I want to be like these older people. I got to keep up with them because they're grown adults. This how a grown adult supposed to be, supposed to act, supposed to know that they can spend this money and not have no problem, you know, spend, you know, $150 on liquor every night or every weekend. It's nothing. At like the older, it's become more stress, more that feeling of emptiness, trying to identify who I am, because I'm not feeling myself. So I'll just go buy stuff that will try to fill that hole. Now, in order, when I recognize those, I'll go as far as cutting up all my cards. Like, let me cut up my cards, put them in ice water, and then put them in the freezer in some water and freeze them until I'm feeling better, until I know, like, I'm not about to spend $200 on stuff I don't need. Let me go so far extreme as I can to stop myself from spending all this money.
Most of my money spending was always tied to, like, a group, wanting to fit in that group. So definitely social situations for me are where I tend to spend the most, especially people I don't know, people I want to be like, people I admire. I definitely go and I would spend more. Now I think I can take a little bit of a step back and still like admire what they do, but do it in my own degree where I can do it comfortably. You know, I don't have to get like, let's say a Casamigos, like tequila bottle. I don't need to do that. I can get whatever they have. That's the cheapest item. And I could do that and I'll be happy. You know, we will all do whatever we need to do. And I can, I guess, do like a minimized version of what they're doing and still feel like I'm fitting in, quote unquote. Or when it comes to, let's say, clothes, and let's say I think someone's like sense of style is so cool, and I'm like, wow, like I need to have those things that they have, instead of going and buying everything that they have, I can now feel like I could step out of that and let's go, say, to a thrift store and find the same thing, or I can get it on sale and coupon and get that same thing. You know, so I will still have that urge, but I can do it to a lesser extent that's still acceptable to me, but I can do it to a much lesser, like, damaging extent than I used to.
I think in terms of, like, what triggers my overspending, I think for me, definitely, it's been said, like, when someone rejects me or breaks up with me or something, that would be a huge trigger for me, because it felt like, okay, there's something wrong about me, right, that people don't like, so I can buy something to fix that. Never worked, but that's often the approach I took.
There's always a hope that this time it will work.
You just need to keep buying more things until you find the right thing to make it work.
Yes, just keep going and I'll get there at some point. Yeah.
So I think for me, I've always subconsciously equated possessions with self-worth, and I think looking back at how that's developed, I would definitely trace it back to my childhood, because I did not grow up in a family where there was disposable income. It was very much the type of situation where we didn't really have money and there wasn't anything left over for luxuries. It was literally about day-to-day living, and anything else on top of that was a bonus. But when I was at school, because of the problems with bullying, the fact that I wasn't in branded sportswear, the fact that, you know, I didn't have branded clothing, designer clothing, that painted a bit of a target on my back. And for me, I always saw material things as a way to fit in with other people and kind of avoid standing out in a crowd. And I think when I had the opportunity to go out and earn my own money, it was very much like, okay, so now I have disposable income. So I am going to buy all of the things that I didn't have when I was younger. And I'm going to indulge that part of my past and that part of my personality. And it was just done to such an extreme extent, because in my mind, it was like, do you know what, actually, like, I've earned this. I went without when I was younger. So now I'm going to compensate. And it was done just to the extent where you couldn't reason with me. And I think a lot of the problem as well was I did have people around me who enabled that behavior. So obviously I've spoken before about having people around me with borderline personality disorder that are not necessarily going to tell me to put the brakes on when I am overdoing it, but also family members. So for example, my grandma, when she was alive, was very supportive of this idea of what Jack said, you know, you don't take it with you. And I think that's probably to do with the time of life that she was in. So my mum would try and put boundaries in place when I was living at home in terms of buying things. And I would then go to my grandma and she would hide them for me, essentially, away from my mum. So that then enabled me to carry on with that behaviour. So I think definitely for me, it's about feeling like, almost like I'm entitled to have nice things because I didn't have them when I was younger.
Are you able to like recognize it or mitigate it in the moment?
Yeah, I think it's because I can recognize that it is tied to self-worth, and it is definitely those times when I'm lacking in confidence or when something has happened to trigger negative emotions that actually I've started to separate what has happened with me as a person and actually just have a moment to take a breath and not just go straight into that impulse to buy things, because actually I might feel good in the moment, but longer term I now appreciate that there are consequences to my actions. And especially now, those consequences are going to impact people other than me. And it's been a tough learning curve, but it's something that I've had to learn. Like, I just didn't really get responsibility before, but now I do. And actually taking other people into consideration has really helped with that.
Yeah, I think my contexts are pretty similar to everything that's been said. I think the only new other one is, I think boredom is a big one for me. I really struggle when I feel bored, because it kind of activates this chronic feeling of emptiness where it's just like, and to me, there's just something about that feels like, unless there's chaos happening, I don't feel alive. And so...
Chaos is king.
I think in some ways I'm actually, for all of the crap that it brought, I was actually kind of beneficial the pandemic, because I had to get used to spending time by myself and not being able to just go out and be impulsive, and that helped, because I wasn't allowed out, right? So that helped me to kind of recognize what that urge to just go out and do things felt like, and to be able to not have to act on it all the time. When I get sort of overcome with this urge to like create chaos, it's sort of this antsy feeling, and I know that if I go out, I'm in that state, I'm much more likely to spend more money than I really should. And so it's been helpful to be aware of that. And then I, you know, depending on how intense that feeling is, I either will just try to sit with it and do something else, or just be really mindful of it when I go out and ask myself, hey, am I spending money because I just want to create some chaos for myself, or is this actually helpful? Thank you, everyone, so much for watching. We hope you got a nugget of wisdom to take with you on your journey. Please make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss a single episode. Come check us out on Sunday. We have fun brunch episodes, which is a little bit more laid back. We get together with our favorite brunchy beverages to catch up, play games, and talk about all things BPD. And then, of course, on Wednesday, we'll be back with a brand new episode topic. So we'll see you then. Till next time. Bye.
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 Bye.